This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Open for Business is powered by BossBolay.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
It is BFM 89.9, the business station. And now, let's get started. And in a world where sustainability and social impact are top of mind of consumer consciousness, Earth Air stands out as a beacon of ethical practice and artisanal excellence. It's founded by Sasibai Kimis here in Malaysia. They began by preserving traditional crafts and empowering local artisans through fair trade practices and sustainable sourcing. After a decade of creating a sustainable social impact, it's also expanded its mission with the launch of a curated marketplace, and as they embark on this new chapter, it aims to further its vision of nurturing the sustainability and social impact ecosystem here in Malaysia. So today, of course, I will be speaking with Sasibai, the founder and CEO of Earth Air, about its journey in preserving cultural heritage, supporting local artisans, and driving a larger movement towards ethical consumerism and responsible business practices that prioritizes people and the planet alongside profit. So happy International Women's Day, Sassy, and welcome to the show.
Thank you, Richard, and good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. It is a grotty day. I came all the way from Ampang.
I know. We were sat looking at our watches thinking we were a little bit worried that our guests might arrive late today because of the weather, you know. But yeah, happy International Women's Day. And it's always a pleasure to have you here in the studio speaking
with you.
And I often quote this, and I've said this to you before, and I say it regularly, that one of my favorite interviews that I've done here at BFM is one that I did with you a few years ago, and we did it on what was your personal Merdeka.
Yeah.
And it's an interview that I constantly go back to remind myself of what it's like to listen to somebody really truly open up and tell a story that's very close to them, right? But and with that in mind, I kind of want to go back to your roots with Earth Air. Me and you have spoken about Earth Air quite a few times.
Yeah.
On Open for Business and on other shows. But for people who are listening at home, just tell me a little bit about the beginning of that journey and how it came around.
Okay, like in a very brief way.
Yes.
You know, I am Malaysian, grew up here. Parents, my grandfather was a migrant from India, you know, and so always had a, I suppose, somewhat of a connection to India because my mum is also from India. So we kind of grew up in our summers, like going to India. And that was the first time that I saw, like, I suppose for a Malaysian who grew up in like Ipoh and KL, like actual poverty, you
yeah.
know, and I saw people who didn't have water, didn't have toilets, didn't even have actual homes. And you know, and I was, that sort of idea stayed with me as like, how do I make a difference in this? Or that the fact that the life that I have is actually a very privileged one. And I think a lot of us in Malaysia, we are so privileged. We have most of our basic necessities. And so growing up with that, and then, you know, I went to study in the US and then did finance, was in investment banking. And I kind of saw like people around me were interested in, you know, we were working with big corporates and we were making rich people richer. And then for me, at the back of my head, I was always remembering where I came from, you know, from Malaysia. And so I always thought, I want to go back and do something for the country as well. Because a lot of times when you're living abroad, the news that you read about Malaysia, it's always negative. Like, it's always very negative. You know, BBC or New York Times. So you're like, okay, you know, maybe I should go back and do something. So that's kind of what made me come back. And that's when I was working with Khazana, which was a fantastic experience. And after 2.5 years of working at Khazana, I sort of had a moment where I kind of fell asleep because I was working long hours. And at that point, I thought, okay, what if I had died at that moment? You know, what kind of life have I led? And what kind of legacy would I be leaving behind? So that kind of made me question things. And so I actually quit and I took time off. And it was during my time off that I was in Hawaii doing natural farming. I went to Cambodia and I was teaching English, building schools. And that's when I met with women and children who were trafficked. and weavers who were really struggling with selling their products. So, I mean, I saw that they had beautiful products, but they were making like $1 for every piece they were making. And so I thought, okay, this is not right. Maybe I can help them pay them a higher price and sell it to my friends. It was a hobby, but it became very clear that for me to be sustainably helping them, it has to become a business. Mm. And that advice came from Dr. Kim Tan, who's an impact investor. So he said, if you want to help these women, you have to start a business. And essentially, that's how Earth Air started.
A moment of like reflection in the US leads to something else here back in Malaysia. And then you're having this people over profit kind of approach mm-hmm. to things. I love that idea of like just when you say you fell asleep and had a moment of what am I leaving behind? I think everybody kind of at a certain stage in their life at mm. some point will have that kind of reflection. I know I've certainly have it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not one you always want to have, but
no.
Even in New York, you know, September 11th happened.
Yeah.
And I lost one of my good friends, Shankar. He was like the only Malaysian that died. Mm. And that too, you know, like my office was blown out. And so I was like, whoa, if I had been there a little earlier in the day, that could have been me in those buildings, you know. And so it's, yeah, so you think like, you know, what is the trajectory of the life that you're choosing, you know. And so, yeah, so for the last 10 years with Earth Air, that's what we've been doing. It's growing it. And initially, you know, we started not working with Malaysian artisans because I was an ignorant Malaysian. I actually didn't know the depth and diversity of heritage we had in Malaysia. You know, growing up in the city, I didn't really know much of what is happening in the kampongs and the heritage that we had as a nation. And in 2015, we won the British Council Social Enterprise Award. And I think that was a bit of a turning point because that funding helped us like open up a physical retail shop. That's like, so me not working out of my bedroom in my parents' house, you know, like that was a big change. And then like getting the Eisenhower Fellowship and going to the US also was another big change for me because before I went on the fellowship, I was very close to shutting Earth Air down because I was like, it's been 3 years. I haven't been able to pay myself a salary. I'm exhausted. I'm doing everything myself, you know. And that those two pivotal moments like changed things. And since then, we've been focusing on Malaysian artisans and Malaysian craftsmanship. And so for the last 10 years, that's what, you know, we have been doing. And now I'm so happy to see, you know, we're not the only ones in this space. There's so many brands working with artisans, right? So I was like, oh, actually, I now kind of feel like we've sort of achieved what we tried to do. Because in the beginning when we started, people didn't even understand what a social enterprise was,
right.
You know? Because they were like, if you're helping people, how can you be making money? It's not right. You know, you should be an NGO. You cannot help people and make money at the same time. Like, it doesn't, you know, there's no congruence. Or
I still have those conversations to this day. Yeah. Yeah. Hold that thought, though. We do need to take a short break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Folks, I am speaking with Sasibai Kimis. She is the founder and CEO of Earth Air. We'll be right back after these messages here on Open for Business on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Open for Business will reopen in a few moments. Powered by BossBully.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary. Behold freedom, Malaysia. BFM 89.9, the business station. Open for Business is powered by BossBully.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
BFM 89.9, the business station. Welcome back to Open for Business. This is the show that dives deep into the journeys and ventures of entrepreneurs and business leaders. I'm speaking with Sasibai Kimis, the founder and CEO of Earth Air, about its journey in preserving cultural heritage, supporting local artisans, and driving a larger movement towards ethical consumerism and responsible business practices that prioritize people and the planet alongside profit. Sassy, I just want to talk to you a little bit about this transition to a curated marketplace. So last year, I believe you expanded your mission by launching a website as a curator marketplace for sustainable social impact products made here in Malaysia, as you mentioned a moment ago. What was it that kind of, I guess, motivated this shift? And how does it enhance your original mission?
Yeah. So, I mean, the dream from the beginning was always to have like a platform for artisanal products, right? But there were a lot of issues that I saw in the sector in the sense that, you know, for people to really appreciate heritage and craft products, like there needs to be a credible brand behind it, you know, because then people trust it, they trust the quality, the design. You know, if I was called like SK Enterprise, they'd be like, huh, what's that? You know what I mean? So I learned a lot about, okay, trying to like develop a brand. And with that, you know, we went through B Corp certification. We went through WFTO Fair Trade certification. And right now in Malaysia, we're the only business that's both B Corp and Fair Trade certified in the whole country.
Yeah.
And all of that comes back to our desire to, you know, further the cause of sustainability, social impact, and also giving consumers a credible idea of, you know, that these products are made in an ethical way, fairly, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. And so after 10 years of doing that, I was like thinking, do I keep doing this? I mean, as in, again, coming back to, do I keep growing a single brand? And do we just keep building ourselves, right? And it came to the point where I realized that, especially during the pandemic, when I saw a lot of other social entrepreneurs struggle, close down, NGOs struggle with funding, and, you know, they were all struggling with market access, like selling their products. So that kind of, you know, sort of kind of made me push forward this idea that, hey, maybe we should use what we have and the platform that we have to help others. So that's kind of how it started. And we started working on it last year and we started contacting, you know, a lot of other different social enterprises that needed help. And so right now on earthair.com, we have 15 social enterprises on board and NGOs as well, several NGOs. And so we have their products online and also in our shop. So the whole idea is that when people come to our shop, they are learning about different business models. They are learning about different people in Malaysia who are working with different community groups and what are the interesting products that they're making. So we have things like home, food, lifestyle products, you know, and corporate gifts. So it's like, you know, we wanted to have one place where as a consumer, you could come and be like, okay, I can buy products from all of these social enterprises in one place, rather than having to go to individual places and shop separately. And some of the organizations don't actually have very good shoppable websites and stuff like that, you know? So we thought at least let's give them that market access, build awareness, you know, grow their market exposure. And as they grow and as they get more income, you know, they can fly away, they can build their own websites, then we can help other smaller organizations that don't have market access. So that's what we are hoping to do now. And that's also very much linked to my personal mission, that where I feel like the next step for social enterprises and to grow the social impact ecosystem in Malaysia is social procurement. You know, because we've been working in this space for a long time and we've seen many agencies come and go. We've talked to different government agencies. And in 2021, we managed to work with Yayasan Hasana and Ministry of Finance, where Tengku Zafrul announced tax exemptions for social enterprises. And so if you are accredited as a social enterprise accredited organization, you actually get 3 years tax-free, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
But the next step we feel that will really spur growth is for social procurement, you know, and that's linked to companies, government agencies. And for me, I feel like the value for companies or government agencies is, I'm going to spew out a few acronyms here, they can fulfill their CSR, ESG, SDG, and their DEI.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you can work through all of these by collaborating with a social enterprise, right? And you can get like interesting solutions and innovative solutions for your last and first mile, because we are working on the ground, you know. So as a large corporation, you might not have that knowledge that we do in the same way. So you could develop new products, new markets, you know, and then you can come up with innovative, you can reduce your social and environmental risk in your supply chain.
I mean, this all sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
What challenges come with something like this? So, I mean, you're bringing all of these people on board from various different backgrounds. They're from all over the place. In my mind, I'm thinking it sounds wonderful. It also sounds like I'd be going home every night with a migraine trying to figure out how to do it all. And I'm sure there has been an element of that as, you know, you're now at a stage where it's done.
Yeah.
Well, not done, but,
it's growing.
It's growing.
Adding,
the kind of base is there, if you like. The foundation is there. What headaches have you been having?
Well, Vanita, she doesn't want to talk. But anyway, well, the headaches have been like, you know, one is actually sometimes getting them on board.
Right.
You know, because they were like, what, you know, what is this about? Because the way we're working with them is on a consignment basis, right? So we take off everything that's sold in the store, we take 30%. And so some of the enterprises we spoke to were like, what, 30%? You know, we can't afford that. You know, ours is only like 20%. And I was like, guys, any retail shop, we're like the lowest. Most of the like retailers that we work with take 35 to 40% of the retail price, right? So we were like, look, if you want to grow your distribution, we have to work on pricing and we have to work on how can we get your products in more places and enable that to for your distribution to grow. So for that, we had to like, I suppose, mentor and work with them and help them understand that in actual fact, they are, if we can improve the marketing and storytelling of their products, we can actually sell their products for a higher price.
Right.
And then we had, I mean, for example, like Pitcher Eats, they didn't actually do any B2C at all. They only sell their products B2B. So, you know, I had a conversation with Suzanne. I'm like, hey, we need to have like best before dates on your products. And, you know, and so I think that a lot of the social enterprises came on board also because like they trust us.
That's
you know,
what
like
I was going to say.
There's a relationship.
Yeah.
And they know me. And, you know, we've been in the sector for like 11 years.
You've all been in the trenches together at some point. Yeah.
So it's like, you know, there's a trust and friendship there. So they know that, like, we're not going to run away and not pay them. And, you know, because we've had that happen to us before. Like, we've had our products at retailers and they sell the products and then they never pay us. So people have been burnt. So I guess all of that helped. And then, you know, with the products, like a lot of issues to do with packaging and quality and even like deliverables, like delivering the products on time and sometimes us having to wait. For example, like, I mean, I love Langit. and this is not a criticism, but because they work with rice, you know, and it's a controlled product in Malaysia. There are restrictions about them even bringing it from Borneo to Malaysia. So, you know, we sold out of a whole bunch of their products and we had to wait a few months because they couldn't bring the rice over from Sarawak to Peninsula, you know.
Yeah.
So I was like, wow, I didn't even know there are such problems in Malaysia. So we are really trying to help the social enterprises like improve their branding, their marketing, and their storytelling. So doing all of that is sometimes I think like, you know, am I a saint? Like, you know, I should just be growing Earth Air and focus on one business, you know, not trying to help everybody else.
Yeah.
So it feels like you're trying to do something that, you know, what are you really gaining from it? But for me, I feel like this is the next step. It's that we need to help grow the ecosystem. It's not about us growing Earth Air alone. If we don't grow the ecosystem, everyone else remains small and the ecosystem doesn't grow and social enterprises remain still a small force in the country.
Hold that thought. We need to take a short break for the news. Folks, I was speaking with Sassy Baikimis, the founder and CEO of Earth Air, about their journey in preserving cultural heritage, supporting local artisans, and driving a larger movement towards ethical consumerism and responsible business practices that prioritises people and the planet alongside profit. I'm Rich Bradby. We'll be back after the news here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Open for Business will reopen in a few moments. Powered by BossBully.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary. Bias-free media. BFM 89.9, the business station. Open for Business is powered by BossBully.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
Welcome back to BFM 89.9, the business station. I'm Rich Bradbury. Of course, this is Open for Business. It is the show that dives deep into the journeys and ventures of entrepreneurs and business leaders. And I'm here with Sassy Baikimis, the founder and CEO of Earth Air, about their journey in preserving cultural heritage, supporting local artisans, driving a large movement towards ethical consumerism and responsible business practices that prioritise people and the planet alongside profit. Sassy, can we talk about the Sustain.me programme? And just to kind of elaborate a little bit on that and its objectives in kind of mentoring entrepreneurs, social enterprises and NGOs. What was the brain bubble behind that and how did you move it forward?
So as a small social enterprise, you know, we only have a limited amount of capital to be able to buy products from artisans, right? So then I started thinking, how can we help them learn or do what we do so that they don't have to depend on us to buy the products from them to survive or grow their income.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how we started, was we first developed a curriculum and we were like, okay, how can we teach them about sustainable design, about pricing, about storytelling, about production, you know, all the things that we spend training and mentoring the artisans that work with us. Can we then translate that knowledge to other organizations? So we started with that actually several, I think in 2018, 2019. We were working with DDEC and we trained entrepreneurs, micro artisans in Terengganu. And that grew to Perak and Sarawak. And then most recently, we've collaborated with Yayasan Hasana. And we trained about 58 entrepreneurs, micro entrepreneurs. They're all B40 micro entrepreneurs in Perak. Mm. And we've just actually now concluded the project. And we were looking at the data, like the income data, because part of our KPI for the project is that we must at least increase their income by 10 to 20%. And then we looked at the income data and we did some analysis and we were like, whoa, it's actually between like 40 to 80%.
Wow.
So we're like, we managed to do that, you know? And so we were amazed ourselves that, you know, this program that we did, which is training, and then we mentor them for almost 6 months on their business issues and problems that they're facing. And we also are helping them with their product design and buying their products as well. And we're going to be selling their products in our store. So, you know, because part of the issue that I see is that so much training, so much money is put by foundations and a lot of grant-making agencies into training. But we train and train and train, but these communities don't have any market access to sell the products and the services that they're making. Mm. And so our Sustain Me program is like, you know, we train and then we also provide market access. So the best entrepreneurs that we can have from the group and with the best products that we feel are marketable. We had a sustainable product competition, actually. So we had three winners that we felt were like the most beautifully made, well-designed and sustainable products. So, you know, we want to showcase these products. And for the entrepreneurs themselves, I mean, the feedback that we got was amazing because they said, oh, now I know how to price my products. Because before I was just like, oh, my neighbor sells it for 130, so I'm going to sell it for 130. You know what I mean? Like, they didn't really have a clear idea of how they were pricing and why they were pricing the way they did. And then, of course, like in our program, we also teach, we collaborate with Sea Monkey Project and we train them on plastic waste management. So a lot of the entrepreneurs said, okay, now I'm going to change my packaging from plastic and using plastic into more sustainable materials like paper or glass, et cetera, et cetera. So, I mean, these changes may seem small, but I think that as a business, when they make these changes, it's going to put them ahead of others who are still doing things the old way. And so that's, you know, we hope to continue working and growing the program to include like entrepreneurs from all over Malaysia. And, you know, in a way, it's kind of like scaling our impact as well. Because, like I said, you know, we don't have money to buy from everyone. But if we can help them learn what we do and help them grow themselves, then they don't need us. You know, they can grow their own businesses on their own. And that's ultimately the aim.
So at the beginning of this session, one of the things that you said was you fell asleep and you woke up asking yourself this question of like, if I was to die today, what have I left behind? Do you feel now as though you've left something or you're starting to leave something behind? I mean, before you answer that, I mean, just look at what you've just told me. You're telling me about how you've increased the income of people who haven't had access to market by up to 80% in places, 70% in places. That's having impact, Sassy, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think, yeah, after 11 years, that's, you know, you do question, like, I think last year I was definitely having these thoughts in my head, like, because last year was our 10th year and I was like, okay, what am I doing? Do I continue doing this? Is this the best place and best use of my time and my talents, right? And the fact that I'm still doing it to me is proof that it's something that I still enjoy and I still feel there's a lot of work to do. And, and I think part of that has been because, I mean, personal changes in my life. You know, I got married, I met my husband. He's also a social entrepreneur. And we started something new together as well. We started Sustained. And Sustained is basically like a center for sustainability and social impact. So people can come and learn in the space about how can they be more sustainable in their lives, you know, and how they can learn about other social impact models and what social enterprises are. So I think that also sort of gave like a new injection of passion.
And purpose.
And purpose, yeah. Because it didn't feel like you're just alone, you know, growing like Earth Air in isolation or, you know, now we're collaborating, we're developing partnerships. So we're working together to grow a new and bigger vision together. And I think that really has helped. And I think even for the team, like for both the Sea Monkey and Earth Air teams as well, it has given a lot more purpose as well together that, hey, we're not like alone, we're not separate, we can collaborate. And this means that we can encourage other people around us to collaborate as well. And essentially, that's the way that the social enterprise and social impact system is going to grow. It's not going to grow with all the individual entrepreneurs like just focusing on their own businesses and not looking outside of their business at what is the ecosystem like? How can we all collaborate and work together? I mean, and I'm looking at this, your tissue box that says stronger together. You know, I mean, that's essentially what it is.
Yeah. Sassy, as ever, it's been an absolute pleasure listening to you today and speaking with me. Of course, here on International Women's Day as well. Thank you very much for coming in again.
Thank you.
you.
Folks, I've been speaking with Satibai Kimis, of course. This has been Open for Business, the show that dives deep into the journeys and ventures of entrepreneurs and business leaders. If you missed any part of this podcast, don't forget you can get it from where you normally get it from. We recommend using the BFM app. That's available in the Apple App Store or Google Play. We're right back here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Are you open for business? Register your company with bossbelay.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.